Art often tells a story, but can it tell our story? The High Museum is doing just that. In Cross Country, their expansive new exhibit of nearly 200 works by some 80 American artists from the beginning to mid-20th century. The show highlights the development of American art region by region. We have the High Museum's curator of American art, Stephanie Height, and Katie Gentleson, their curator of folk and self-taught art. Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Well, thank you for coming in. This exhibition is enormous in scope. What is the overarching story you're trying to tell?
We are really very excited to tell, or we have an opportunity to really take a fresh look at this very interesting, rich moment between the wars in the early 20th century. And rather than the approach that I think we're all very used to, where we look at one group of artists, say the modernists, or we look at the photographers from this period, or folk and self-taught artists from this moment, we're really peeling away those divisions and investigating what our cultural landscape looked like then across these various types of artistic communities. And in fact, you know, so many people were aware of other activities in other regions of the world as well, and certainly within the U.S., other artists were looking and being inspired by different kinds of artists at that time. So it's a really interesting moment, and that's, you know, what we hope our visitors will experience when they come to the museum.
Well, in the South, the most prominently featured work is one of Hale Woodruff's Talladega murals. What's the significance of that work and the tone it sets for the region?
Hale Woodruff was someone that we absolutely had to include in this exhibition. He's an Atlanta hero, was here for over a decade, establishing the first school for African-American artists made available to artists of color in the 1930s and 40s. So he really he broke down so many walls here in Atlanta. And to have the opportunity to add into this amazing exhibition project one of his incredible murals that he painted for Talladega College, you know, just for us, it helps tell the story not only of a community here in Atlanta that was energized by Hale Woodruff and his role in the arts, but also how Hale Woodruff was making sense of the world around him and helping the students at Talladega College sort of unpack their surroundings and think a little bit more about their place in history and their place as students in the 1940s in America in the South.
It is a stunning work, as are all of those murals, and there's so much narrative within it. Katie, would you talk a bit about that?
Sure. So the mural cycle that it's a part of tells the story of kind of African-American experience, beginning with the Amistad Slave Rebellion, actually, and moving towards the founding of Talladega College. And so what's happening in this particular mural is students are coming to enroll. And so you see young African-American men bringing all sorts of things, livestock, chicken, bags of seed, as payment for their tuition. And in the background, Stephanie, is that that's the library? Is that Savory?
It's Swain Hall that was built actually by William Savory, contributed to it when he was enslaved. So it has a special significance on Talladega's campus because some of the folks who initially, right after the Civil War, were able to get momentum to build the school and to establish the school had actually participated in the construction of the first building that was assigned to be, you know,
it's a triumphant story.
Absolutely.
And it's really, you know, kind of a symbolic story too about the transition from an agricultural past towards something new, towards a new chapter. And you see that so much in the show, especially in the South, this kind of, you know, romance, but also criticality, you know, of the history of slavery and of the kind of unequal economic systems of sharecropping and that sort of thing that came up in its place after abolition. So there's this whole, throughout the Southern region, you really see this kind of dwelling on that and grappling with this difficult history and moving towards a new future. And that's very evident in that mural panel.
Lamar Dodd, another artist in the South region,
yes,
on display, came back from Europe believing Alabama or Southern landscapes provided ample inspiration. And Grant Wood is quoted in Cross Country in this exhibition saying, "I spent 20 years around the world hunting arty subjects to paint, and I came back home, and the first thing I noticed was the cross-stitched embroidery of my mother's apron." These statements suggest an emerging self-confidence in American artists drawing inspiration from America. Do you agree?
Oh, absolutely. The idea of modern art and always sort of searching for the next new thing. For many Americans, as they returned from Europe following the outbreak of World War I, they turned to domestic subjects because, in fact, it really hadn't been explored with their modern eye. And America became, for many artists like Grant Wood, but also Marcin Hartley. I mean, two artists that you don't necessarily think of one after the next or next to each other, but in fact, both were seeking something unique and distinct in our visual world, and they found it right here.
It brought to mind music of Aaron Copland, whose works from the 1930s on also depicted what is American landscapes, that feel of the plains, and I guess it's not coincidental that they were active around the same time. Before we leave the South, I was hoping you would speak about a painting that is so affecting. It may leave museum goers with the most haunting image of this show, and that was one of a man who had just been taken down from the tree after having been lynched.
I think you're talking about Frederick Flemister's deposition,
yes.
And it's a really very moving and startling image. Flemister was a student of Hale Woodruff's here in Atlanta, and then also worked in the Midwest, went to the Heron School. And he was a young artist when he painted this, but really very much responding to the turmoil and the challenge of being Black in the South at that time. And it's veiled in this really elegant but still challenging format of, you know, a Renaissance-style subject, right? Something that we're very familiar with seeing. But when, you know, the tone of the skin color is changed and the setting is now a Southern landscape rather than, you know, across, you know, in a Renaissance painting, its meaning is amplified in so many ways. And this was also a moment when artists were looking to social expression in the arts, which, you know, persists to this day. So, of course, we're familiar with this kind of activism expressed through art. But this is a really poignant example of that.
And the quote on the wall is from Strange Fruit.
Yeah, written around the same time this was painted. Yeah.
There is a wide array of artists in this exhibition. We mentioned Hale Woodruff. There's also George O'Keefe, Ansel Adams, Grandma Moses, Alfred Stieglitz, Bill Traylor. there's something for everyone. Would you tell us about the curatorial process for a show of this scope?
Well, I'll start off, and then I'll hand it to Katie. We really wanted an expansive view, and it seemed natural here at the High, with our strengths in American art, but also folk and self-taught and photography, to collaborate internally. And so that's what we did. I think each of our curatorial departments brings a different voice to the project, but also, adds, I think, really necessary layers for a history that's complicated and not sort of just straightforward.
Yeah, I think at the core of the show, it's really about multiple voices and multiple views into what was going on in America in this period. And when we started considering the exhibition, Stephanie and I started having conversations about how not only is there kind of this explosive diffusion of American artists creating all kinds of different work all across the country, but there's also the rise of the self-taught artists in this period. Mm-hmm. It's the first moment that self-taught artists, so artists who never went to a formal art academy, started getting recognition from major insider institutions like the Museum of Modern Art and the Whitney and the Barnes Foundation. And then we were having conversations with our colleagues in photography, because the same thing was happening to photographers in this period. They were being seen not just as people who were documentarians or artists who were trying to emulate what painters were doing with the camera, but as fine artists in their own right. And similarly, to self-taught artists, it was photographers who were also getting recognition, solo shows, even a department founded at the Museum of Modern Art in this period. So it was really just this expansive broadening of who could be an artist in America in this moment, and we wanted to capture that.
And it so much parallels the growing strength of America as a world power, and I guess I should say as such a place of influence, because that wasn't the case in art or music of the 19th century at all. It also, I think something that you bring out very well in the exhibition is that artists had the opportunity to travel throughout the country, in large part thanks to government-funded agencies such as the WPA. Is it the Farm Securities
Administration?
Yes.
Right, the FSA, the WPA, the Works Progress Administration. All of these agencies, in addition to there were privately funded foundations, as well as different kinds of commissions that came out of commercial agendas or even private agendas that, unlike the 19th century, really did offer these opportunities to travel across the country, maybe spend a little bit of time in the Southwest, dabble in the Northwest, and then head back to New York or, Philadelphia. So there was this really great expansion that in the 19th century, you saw a little bit less of. I mean, for obvious reasons. It is this moment where there's a great diversity of reason for traveling.
Yes, and it's something else that is brought out very well is these artists weren't rejecting cities. It was just more of an opportunity to explore other inspirations and travel to these, vast spaces and other locales. I mean, something that's great is you don't just see Marsden Hartley in the West or Georgia O'Keeffe in the West. You see where else they painted. And so various artists are on display in the different regions. In just the minute we have left, I wanted to ask you, because so much has been made lately of the political differences between urban and rural areas, the people living in those urban versus rural areas. Looking back on these artists' eagerness to embrace and capture rural life in this show, what do we have to learn from what was being said in the 20th century?
I think it's, I mean, even less than on the Oscars, you know, the host Jimmy Kimmel was talking about go out and have a conversation with somebody who is different than you. And that's kind of what these artists were doing, right? They were going outside of their comfort zones. They were going to new places. In some cases, like with Walker Evans and some of the amazing photographs that we have, he was embedding himself with, you know, rural tenant farmers. And so I think that's one thing that's very inspiring about the show is that it really is about questing kind of after your fellow American in a different way of life than the one that you're necessarily used to and striving, you know, to make that kind of human connection.
Yeah, there's a great story, I think, in almost every gallery within the exhibition, but one that comes to mind is someone like N.C. Wyeth, who was so well known for his illustrations at the top of his field, practiced as a very successful artist outside of illustration. And he found connection with Horace Pippin, who lived less than 20 miles away and exhibited in some of the same locations that he did. And, you know, you would never imagine a connection between the two of them. But in fact, this particular moment lent the opportunity to it.
The High Museum American Art Curator is Stephanie Height, and the Curator of Folk and Self-Taught Art is Katie Gentleson. The exhibition is Cross Country, The Power of Place in American Art. It's magnificent. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so for having us.
The show is on view at the High Museum of Art through May 7th.